Well, people often talk about leaving a legacy, leaving behind something for others to follow. And the question could be raised for each of us. What do we pass it on to the next generation, to our family, to our children, to our friends? We see that we live in a culture and a world that passes on certain things. Our culture says we want to pass on to you that what really counts is your possessions, what you have. And our culture says we want to pass on to you that what really counts is your success and whether you've got degrees and fame and those kind of things. And our culture wants to pass on to you that what really counts is right now. That's what our culture says. In fact, our culture says what's important is being famous, maybe being a celebrity. But what are we passing on to those who come after us? What do we want to leave behind? As we look at 2 Peter, Peter's goal, and we're going to see it as we get toward the end of our passage this morning, he wanted to pass on some truths to these fellow believers, and he said, this is what's important. It is knowing the Word of God. He wanted them to remember the truths of God's Word so that they'd be able to live them out and pass them on as well. He says, even after he is gone, after he has died, he said, I want you to be able to recall these things. How are we doing? What are we passing on? Are we passing on the values of this world or the truths of God's Word? Well, let's begin, because this morning we're going to see some practical things, some powerful truths from this letter. If you remember last time, we were looking briefly, we finished by looking briefly at verses 10 and 11, and so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go back and start with verses 10 and 11, because I think there's some things in there that we just need some more time on. We've got to understand it, because it's very powerful. So let me break down the passage for you this morning. We'll start with verse 10, which deals with testimony, and he says, make every effort to demonstrate your testimony before others. Then in verse 11, he talks about rewards, and he talks about entering the kingdom with an abundant entrance, and we'll talk about that. Then in verses 12 through 15, Peter's goal is that he would pass the word on to these people so that even after he's gone, they would be able to know the Word of God. There's a lot in this passage. Let's get a flow of chapter 1, because it's incredible how it flows together. If you remember in verses 1 and 2, he just starts by talking about the fact that he's writing to these fellow believers. Then in verse 3, he says, you know, God has given us everything we need for a life of godliness, a godly lifestyle. Then in verse 4, he says, all of this is based on his precious promises. Then in verses 5, 6, and 7, he lists 8 qualities that we need to develop in our lives. He says you need to develop faith, which is trusting God, and virtue, which is that higher lifestyle. He says you need to have knowledge, which is knowing applying God's Word. He says you need to have self-control, which is be able to master your own desires. You need to have perseverance, where you keep on keeping on. You need to have godliness, where you're becoming more and more like Christ. He says you need to have brotherly love, where you love the fellow believers. And then finally, last but not least, you need to have love, which is loving others. And then we saw in verses 8 and 9, in verse 8 he said, if you develop these qualities, you'll be useful for God and you'll be fruitful for God. Verse 9 he says, if you don't develop these qualities, you will be blind. You will have missed the point, which is to make disciples. He says you'll be short-sighted. You'll only be thinking about the now and not the eternal. And you'll actually have forgotten what Jesus Christ has done for you. And in that verse he mentions the fact that he cleansed us from our sins. So it's very powerful. Now this morning as we start at verses 10 and 11 and go, he's going to continue, but his issue now, he's going to turn to our testimony and to our rewards. And those are vital. Our testimony deals with what goes on now. Our rewards are going to deal with what goes on when we enter the kingdom, when we get with Jesus Christ, what's it going to be like? So it's pretty powerful. And then as we finish this morning, we'll look at 12 through 15 and we'll see the issue of passing on the Word of God. How are you doing on the qualities that we saw in verses 5, 6, and 7? Are you developing those things in your life? The truth is, if you are, God is going to use you. You're going to be useful to Him and fruitful. If you were to say, well, JB, really, I'm not doing that good. Well, then what He tells us is, right now, we're missing the point. We're only thinking about now and not the eternal, and we're actually forgetting the things that God has done for us. With that in mind, he now turns to the whole issue of our testimony. Look at verse 10. He says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. Now he says, be diligent, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent, and it literally in the Greek says, to make sure your calling and election. Now we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but he says, be diligent, make every effort. He already told us to make every effort to develop these 8 qualities. Now he says, make every effort to demonstrate your calling and choosing by God. And so what he's saying is, you need to demonstrate to people that you belong to Jesus Christ. Notice again verse 10, it says, be all the more diligent to make certain. The Greek word make certain literally means to demonstrate. He's saying, let people be able to see in your life that you belong to Jesus Christ. I think that's very important. Sometimes Christians live exactly like the world, and people don't even know they're Christians. They don't know that they're any different. He's saying here, make every effort to demonstrate that you belong to Jesus Christ. We must have a testimony in this fallen world that we are different, that we are unique, that we are children of God. And I tell you what he's saying is, if you develop those eight qualities back in 5, 6, and 7, you're going to stand out. You're going to look different. People are going to say, there's something different about those people. And we will, in a sense, demonstrate that we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, he says something a little bit unique in this passage. He says, be all the more diligent to make certain or make show your calling and election. Notice these two words, your calling and election, or your calling and choosing, if you have a New American Standard. Now, what is he doing there? I talked about these words last week. I want to go back over them again to make sure you got this, because it's very powerful. What he's doing in this verse is he is showing us the two sides of salvation. Sometimes people only stress one side. Some people only stress a certain side, and then some people stress the other side. Peter is stressing both sides, which you must do. He says, your calling and your election. He stresses the God side of salvation and the man side of salvation. He uses the two terms. The term calling is the man side. The term choosing or election is the God side. I want you to understand this, that God chooses, elects us, pulls us to himself. That's the God side. Our side is he invites us, and whosoever will believe has eternal life. From God's side, it's the electing and choosing. From man's side, it's the invitation and the believing, and they both go together. Let me remind you, think about from God's side. From God's side, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. In John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus actually says, nobody comes to me unless they're drawn by the Father. And in chapter 16, he says, I have chosen you and brought you to myself. That's the God side. The truth is, none of us would have come to God unless he chose us and brings us to himself. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. That's what the Bible says. So from the God side, we're going this way, and in his grace, he reaches out and pulls us to himself. From the man side is the word calling or invitation. He is saying, whosoever will come will have eternal life. This is the man side, in which we must put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. We have to believe. We trust in Christ as Savior. We hear the good news message. We hear the truth that Jesus Christ died for us. He paid for our sins. He rose again. All who will believe in him will have eternal life. And so we, from our side, we believe that Jesus Christ gives to us eternal life. Both sides are there. God chooses, we believe. If God doesn't choose us, we will not be saved. If we do not believe, we will not be saved. And they go together. There are some people, all they emphasize is the God choosing side. And there's some people that all they ever emphasize is the man believing side. They're both true in the Scripture. And that's what Peter talks about. He says you need to demonstrate your calling and choosing. He says you need to demonstrate that you were invited and you believed and that God picked you. It's that simple. Now, let me tell you, in our Christian lives, as we go out this door, the emphasis that we should emphasize is from the man side, because that's how we live. God has already told us to go out and take the message to every person. We're to tell every person that we come in contact with, if we have the opportunity, we need to tell them they need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to tell them that they need to believe that Jesus gives eternal life. We don't know who God chose or who God has pulled into himself. All from our side we know is that whosoever will believe will have eternal life. That's our emphasis. So when we go out this door, we don't go around thinking, I wonder who God picked. We go out this door taking the message, as Mark chapter 16 says, take the message to every person. We get to tell people that Jesus died for them and rose again, and we want them, we invite them to put their faith in Christ. That's the key. Well, what does he say? He says, therefore, be all the more diligent, make every effort to demonstrate your calling and your choosing. He says, demonstrate so that people can see that you belong to Jesus Christ. From this, he then moves to another area. Now, the testimony, that's for right now. This other aspect, this rewards, is for the future. Now, what we do right now affects the rewards, but let's talk about it. He says, and if you, the end of verse 10 says, and if you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. He basically says, listen, when you do what's right, when you live according to these things, when you develop these eight qualities, you're not going to stumble, but you're going to have an abundant entrance into the kingdom. He's talking about rewards. So look what he says. He gives a negative and a positive. He basically says, if you develop these qualities, if you demonstrate that you belong to Jesus Christ, number one, from the negative side, you will never stumble. You're not going to trip up. Now, stumble means to trip and fall. That's what it means. It means that somehow you might be going along and you might be growing as a Christian. You might be, and then something comes into your life, something trips you up, and you quit growing. You quit making a difference for Christ. There are a lot of Christians who started off good, and then you don't know where they are now. They're not growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They're still Christians. You put your faith in Christ, you have eternal life forever. But you may be tripped up. You may stumble. He says, if you're developing these qualities, and if you're living out who you are, you're not going to stumble. You're going to keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then he gives the positive in verse 11. He says, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. When you enter the kingdom, there will be abundance. That's a very powerful passage. We talked about this, about rewards. We talked about it last week, and I told you that there is a misconception that a lot of people think that when we all get into the kingdom and when we all get into heaven, everything's going to be equal and the same. It's not going to be that way. Because Jesus Christ tells us that how we lived here as a believer, has nothing to do with salvation, but how we live here as a believer will determine our rewards and our place of service and our positions of responsibility in the kingdom and on into eternity. He tells us that. So how you live now as a Christian will determine your rewards and your place of responsibility. How you live now does not determine your salvation. Your salvation is a gift given to you simply by your faith in Christ. He gives you eternal life. But how you live determines your rewards. So he says, listen, if you do all this, for in this way your entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied. Boy, it's going to be powerful. Now, in this passage, I want to think about three things. He describes the kingdom, he describes Christ, and he describes our entrance, which is the rewards. Let's look at the first one. He describes the kingdom, and there are three things about the kingdom that he describes in verse 11. Notice, first of all, it is an eternal kingdom. He says, for your entrance into the eternal kingdom. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will always be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will always rule in righteousness and justice for all eternity. Now, the Bible tells us that there will be a time that he will rule on this earth in Jerusalem. It's found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 7. He will rule on this earth for 1,000 years as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Following that, and following what is called the Great White Throne Judgment, we will go and he makes a new heavens and a new earth, and we go into the eternal state, and he will rule forever and ever. That's why Peter describes it as the eternal kingdom, because Jesus Christ is the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's always going to be the king and rule. That's the first thing we see. The second thing we see about this kingdom is that it's future. It says it will be abundantly supplied. It's in the future. The kingdom is not now. We're not in the kingdom. There are people who believe that we're in the kingdom now and that Jesus Christ is the king and he's ruling. I don't see him. Do you? He's not ruling. And in the kingdom, if you notice carefully in the Bible, that Satan is bound for that 1,000 years. I don't think he's bound. In fact, the Bible tells us he's a roaring lion seeking who may devour. We're not in the kingdom. The kingdom is future. One day Jesus Christ will come in the clouds and he will take us out. And then after a period of time on the earth called the tribulation, he will return to this earth and we will return with him for the kingdom. It's future. The third thing about the kingdom that is mentioned in verse 11, it is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who rules as the king. So it's an eternal kingdom, it's a future kingdom, and it's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to see is he describes the kingdom, but he also describes Jesus Christ. And notice how he describes him. He calls him our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People get confused on what lordship means. I've had people tell me that lordship means that you must obey God. The word lordship or Lord, kurios in the Greek, means deity. He is God. Nobody makes Jesus Lord. Nobody says, I'm going to make Him Lord of my life. He's already Lord of everything. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is God. He is deity. You don't make Him anything. He is described here as the Lord and Savior. He is the eternal God, because that's what kurios means, deity. And He is the Savior. Now this is an important word, because we've seen it already two or three times just in these first few verses of this letter. But He is the one who saves. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. He's the Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel Gabriel tells Joseph, you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. He is the Savior. There is only one Savior in the whole existence of all things, and that is Jesus Christ. Sometimes people think, what? With a Savior. Because I've had people tell me, if I try to live a good life, I'll get to heaven. They are seeking to be a Savior. They're going to save themselves by their good works. There is only one Savior, and mankind's good works are filthy rags. We can never measure up. There's only one God and Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. And so He describes Christ as the Lord and Savior, the God and Savior. And then the third thing that He describes in this one verse is our entrance into the kingdom. And He says, if you develop these eight qualities, if you demonstrate a lifestyle that you belong to Christ, you will never trip up. And when you enter the kingdom, it will be an abundant entrance into the kingdom. And this is very powerful, because He says the entrance will be abundantly supplied to you. In the Greek, it's the idea of you're going to get a lot. That's how it is. And this, the idea is rewards. There's a picture that Peter uses. I mentioned it last week, that in those days when there was either a war and you came back from the war and you were victorious, or you were an athlete and you went to what was then the Isthmus Games or the Olympic Games and you came back to your city, they would all be at the gate. And as you came in, the people would be lined the city and they would throw off stuff and presents and flowers and rewards, and you wouldn't have to pay taxes and everything. It would be just a great entrance. And so as you came back, it would be a big time for you. He's using that analogy and saying, if you serve Jesus Christ, if you live for Him, when you enter the kingdom, it'll be like you're coming in and you've had a great victory, and there are going to be abundant rewards for you. You will hear your Savior say, well done, good and faithful Savior. Faithful servant. That's the key. Faithful servant. Now that's the key. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says what? Moreover, brethren, is required of stewards to be found faithful. That's the key. It doesn't matter what gifts or talents you have. It doesn't matter where you're serving or how you're serving or how long you serve. The emphasis is your faithfulness to use what God has given to you for His glory. That's the key. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, run the race so that you may get the prize. I want you to see something. This is for all of us. Hold your place in 2 Peter and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's going to come a time, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ, which is a rewarding place, and we'll talk about it. There's going to come a time when you will stand before your Savior, Jesus Christ, and you will be rewarded for how you lived, how you served Him. It has nothing to do with salvation, as I've said many times. It has to do with your rewards. It's going to be how you're going to be able to enter that kingdom. Will it be abundantly supplied to you, or will you just enter? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 gives us some information. Notice what he says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the word bad literally means worthless. I want to give you and break this down for you. He starts off, Paul is writing this, and he says, for we must all appear. We're talking about every believer. We must all appear. And there's going to come a time that each one of you, each one of us in this room, will appear before our Savior. He calls it, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes we see the word judgment and it looks bad. This time it's not bad. It's the Greek word B-E-M-A, bema. It means a bema seat. It means a rewarding stand. You're going to all stand before the rewarding stand of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says, that each one may be recompensed. The word recompense literally means rewarded. It means given back to you. In the way that you served your Savior while you were on this earth, He's going to give back to you rewards. It's pretty incredible. Notice what He says, be recompensed for His deeds in this body. The word deeds there literally mean your service, your works, things that you do. And then He says, whether they be good or bad, and the word bad means worthless. He's saying, if you did it in the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God, you're going to be rewarded. If you did things in the flesh, you're not going to get any rewards. It's that simple. Talks about the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Talks about the same thing in Romans 14. Same kind of issues. In Romans 14, verse 12, He says, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Now just remember, you never have to have a fear about whether you're going to go to heaven or not, because it's a gift given to you by faith in Jesus Christ. The one thing that you could fear is what's going to happen when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the rewarding stand of Christ. Will He say, well done, good and faithful servant, or will He not say that? In fact, 1 John chapter 2 says we could actually be ashamed at His coming. When you stand there, you may go, well, I don't have any. I didn't serve God. I didn't do anything. A little bitty stuff. Go back to 2 Peter. Peter says what you want to do is you want to develop these qualities in your life. You want to demonstrate to others, make every effort to demonstrate to others that you belong to Christ. That way you won't stumble, and yet when you enter the kingdom, there will be an abundant entrance. It will be fantastic for you. I hope and pray for every one of us in this room that when we stand before our Savior and we are prepared to enter the kingdom, so to speak, that's how He puts it, that it'll be an abundant entrance and He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear Him say. How are we doing? Do others know that we belong to Jesus Christ? Are we faithfully serving our Savior? Well, there's one more area that we're going to touch on in verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. I'll go very quickly through those because we're going to come back and really get verse 15 more detail next week as we put together almost the rest of the chapter next time. But I want you to see this because He now mentions the importance of passing on the Word of God. See, that is a key. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but there are some Christians or many Christians who think that the only person who teaches the Bible or helps people know the Bible is me or another pastor. Every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior are responsible to know the Scripture and help pass it on to other people so they can know it. That's a key. Look what Peter says in verse 12. He says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in truth, which is present with you. Peter says, I'm going to make every effort. I'm going to always be ready to remind you of these things. What things? The things he's been talking about. The lifestyle, the rewards, the kingdom, the testimony, all those things he's been talking about so far in verse 1. He says, I want to remind you of these great truths, even though you already know them. Sometimes people say, you know, we've heard that grace message a lot. Yeah. It's in there a lot. That's why you hear it a lot. And you know it. And you're going to keep knowing it, aren't we? I mean, because we're going to keep going over it because it's there every place we go. Peter says, I'm going to remind you of these things even though you already know them. And then notice what he says at the end of the verse. And you have been established in the truth which is present with you. The word established means you've got the foundation. It is vital. Every one of us in this room have the foundational truths of God's Word that we know what they are and we're able to pass them on. Foundational truths like what's the gospel, how to present the gospel, the security of the believer, how to get into the Scripture for ourselves, how to study the Bible, what about prayer, what about how does the church fit together, all of these kind of things. You need to know those so you can pass those on to others. That's one reason we call our 412 studies, our small groups, we call them 412 foundational studies, because it has those basic truths in there that all of us need to know and be able to pass on to others as well. So Peter says, look, I'm going to always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. And you've been established in the truth which is present with you. Then he goes on and says, I consider it as right that as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, and he says, as long as I'm still alive, to stir you up by the way of reminder. The word stir up means to wake up. You know what he's saying? I need to wake you up. He's talking to the people in Asia Minor. He says, I need to wake you guys up. I'm about to die. And I got to make sure you're awake and know what you're doing, because when I'm gone, you got to be able to pass this stuff on. And sometimes on a Sunday morning, I look out. Some of you do need to be woke up. But the truth is, he says, I consider this a right that I, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up, to wake you up by way of reminder. Watch. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. He said, I'm about to die. We believe that Peter probably wrote this around 66, 67 A.D. Peter died in 67 A.D. He was killed in Rome. And we think this was probably very close to the end. He says, I know that my earthly dwelling is imminent. The laying aside of it, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made known to me. Well, when did Jesus make known to Peter when he was going to die? We're not sure. We don't know whether Jesus had come to Peter and said, your days are very short. Or is he referring back to John chapter 21 when Jesus told Peter, don't worry, when you're young, you'll be able to go wherever you want to, but when you get older, they're going to arrest you, grab you, and ultimately put you to death. So it could be that he's saying, you know, I've gotten older, and what Jesus told me, that I was going to die when I'm older, and I think my time is just about up. Now look at verse 15, because it's the key. I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. He says, I'm going to be diligent. Now, think about how many times he's used this same Greek word. Be diligent to get these eight qualities. Be diligent to demonstrate you belong to Christ. And he says, I'm going to be diligent to make sure that even after I die, you know these truths. You know what his plan is? Just the same as Paul's plan, and that was to take the truths you've been taught and pass them on to other people. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, take the things that you've been taught and you pass them to faithful people who will be able to teach others. This is the plan. Every one of us in this room needs to have an understanding of the foundational basic truths of God's Word. We need to be able to not only know those and live those out, we need to be able to pass them on to other people. Now let me tell you this. If you were to say to yourself, I don't know what he's even talking about, call me. We've got some foundation. We've got what we call the 412 foundational study, which will give you those foundational truths that you can understand, you can put it together, and then you will be able to tell other people as well. You've got to be prepared to do that. You've got to pass these things on to other people. Our society's passing on the wrong thing. You've got to pass on the Word of God to those that come after you, to your family and to your friends. We have to do that. So his goal is to pass it on. And we're going to see more of that next week. In fact, we're going to talk about 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where he tells us how to do it. It's pretty powerful. So what have we seen this morning? We've seen he says, make every effort to demonstrate that you belong to Jesus Christ. He says, when you develop these qualities, you will have rewards in the kingdom. He then says, it's my goal to remind you of God's truth because I'm about to die and I want to make sure that even after I'm gone, you'll be able to know these truths and be able to pass them on as well. So as we close this morning, let me give you three applications that tie into this passage. The first one is this. Let's live in such a way that people will know that we belong to Jesus Christ. Let's do it. By our lifestyle, we need to demonstrate that we've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. He said, demonstrate that God has called you, God has invited you, you have believed, you belong to Christ. He says, demonstrate that. The only way people can see that is by your lifestyle. So we got to live it out. Emerson wrote this. He says, the best effect of fine persons is felt after we have left their presence. What effect has your presence left on the lives of others? What do people think when they come in contact with you? How do we live? What kind of testimony are we giving out to those we come in contact with? We want to live in such a way that people know we belong to Christ. Second application, let's be faithful servants of Jesus Christ so that we will have that abundant entrance into the kingdom. You want to have rewards? I mean, I've had people say, oh, I don't want any rewards. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, you need to run the race so that you get the prize. You need to discipline your lives so that you will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. When you stand before Christ, you do not want to be embarrassed. He is your Savior. He died for you. He saved you. You do not want to go, I wish I'd have done more. Now, as we live day in and day out, we keep thinking, I got all this time. You don't know how much time. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how long it's going to be before he comes back. So right where we are, make the effort from this point on that you're going to take the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you have and you're going to invest your life in the service of Jesus Christ. So when you enter that kingdom and you stand before your Savior, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, and you will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4:2, just be found faithful. That's the key. Well, the third thing, and this is what we're going to talk more about next week, and the third thing is, let's pass on the truths of God's Word to others. You're going to have to know it. So you're going to have to dig the scripture. And if you've never been through a 412, call me. I'll get you into a 412. I'll get you into something so that you can say, wait a minute, so these are these basic truths that I need to lock in on, make sure I know. I know most of them. I just don't know where to go in the Bible to find all this. We want you to be able to know it and be where to go find it and be able to pass it on to others. So it's powerful. Pass the truth of God's words on to others. You got to know the scripture. You got to dig it yourself. And then you got to be a channel to pass it on to others. 2 Timothy 2:2 is a key verse. Take the things you've been taught. Pass it on to others so they can teach others. May we be faithful servants of Jesus Christ, passing on God's word to others so that the world can see that we belong to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. They're just what a passage. And thank you for each one that is here. Lord, we want to live in such a way that people know that we belong to Jesus Christ. We want to have that testimony that they would see our calling and our choosing. The fact that He has done that for us. Lord, would You stir us up that we would know Your Word, that we would live out Your Word, that we would live in such a way that when people come in contact with us, they know that we belong to Jesus. Lord, I pray also that we would be stirred up to be faithful servants, because one day, Lord, by Your grace, we will stand before You, and by Your grace, You will reward us for serving You. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us in this room would be encouraged to take the gifts and the talents that we have to serve our Savior. And then finally, Lord, we want to pass the truths on to others, that we would have a foundational truth, that we would know these things, as Peter talked about, that they knew them, that we would know them, and that we would be able to pass them on so that after we are gone, that the word would be able to be passed on to others as well. Lord, I thank You for this body of believers. They're incredible, Lord. They have a heart for You and they live for You. Use us, Lord, to make an impact for You in this community. We ask this in Jesus' name.